Well, now, let's see. This evening, I want to talk about a boy. A boy, yes. His birth, his blessing, and his bride. And we'll see how time goes. That boy is Isaac. And we'll find, we're going to begin, chapter 17. Isaac is a very beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Much, 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 much that is written about Isaac in the Word of God typifies some phase of the life of the Lord Jesus. One of the things that intrigues me even is his miraculous birth. And his birth was miraculous. It was also predicted. He was even named before his birth. And when you start writing down things that coincide with some phase of the life of the Lord Jesus, it's just staggering. As Brother Brown mentioned this morning, he must have had higher mathematics. I got lost in all the trillions and billions and all those things. But really, that's the way it is. It's just staggering. All the number of different incidents going right from the beginning right to, well, the end hasn't happened yet when we get to heaven. Isaac. Well, let's begin our little journey this evening in Genesis chapter 17, and we'll start reading verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. We've already chatted for a moment about this. A letter's different, the I to the H. Verse 16, and I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, king of people shall be of her. This is pretty heavy stuff. Nations, kings, to someone not even born, of a person whose body, as far as having children is concerned, is dead. Quite a promise. Verse 17. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. And I want you to make a note of that word laugh, because we're going to be talking about it quite a bit this evening. Laughed. Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? I'm 100-year-old man. And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Lord, I've got this boy. His name is Ishmael. I mean, we've already got the start of these things that you're talking about. And Abraham is asking for these things to go to Ishmael. But God said in verse 19, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son. Unbelievable, Abraham, as it may appear to you. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. Guess what Isaac means? Oh, whisper to me again. What? Laughter. Knowledgeable students this evening. It means laughter. Yes, I said we're going to be having a lot to say about laughter. Now remember, we've already got our start. And now, Abraham fell on his face and laughed. God said unto, and Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Verse 19, let's get back to that. There we go. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. So he was named also before his birth, as was the Lord Jesus. I will establish my covenant with thee, with him, for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Another name to remember. We'll be talking more about seed. Now, we got one. Don't let me forget this, scholars. Got my memory squad here. We're going to remember seed, and we're going to remember laughter. So they are two very important words. And I will establish my covenant with him. With him. So then, as far as Abraham and Isaac is concerned, it's almost like they're bookends. The covenant flows to both of them. It definitely will flow from Abraham to Isaac and through Isaac and on down through the years. So that is why Isaac is so important. He will be the recipient of this covenant that God is making with Abraham. Now, we'll pick up at chapter 18, verse 1. This is a very, very interesting encounter. And the Lord appeared unto him, that is Abraham, in the plains of Mamre. Mamre means fatness. That's how Abraham is living these days. He's living in the plains of fatness. Lot's the city slicker, remember. He's living over the big time. Lights and excitement and all that thing. And you've got this little country bumpkin living over here, but the Holy Spirit has given us a little commentary on the place he's living. He's living in fatness. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. When he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and he bowed himself toward the ground. Now let's see if we can get some feeling of this encounter. Zero in on that word ran. Now remember, this is a 100-year-old man we got going here. But when he saw these three men, there was no doubt in his mind what was happening. He had some heavenly visitors. And he ran to meet them from the tent door, and he bowed himself toward the ground. And he said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, wash your feet, rest yourselves under the tree, and I'll fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts, that you shall pass on, for therefore you are come to your servant. And they said, So do, as thou hast said. They are accepting Abraham's hospitality. These heavenly visitors, these divine visitors, are accepting Abraham's hospitality. Abraham hastened. Oh, he's hastening now. This 100-year-old man's hastening into the tent. Sarah, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it. Make cakes upon the hearth. Abraham ran into the herd to fetch a calf tender and good, and gave it to a young man, and he hasted to dress it, took butter, milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they had themselves a picnic. They did eat. What a beautiful, beautiful setting. Abraham, the man of faith, entertaining his heavenly visitors. That's just such a beautiful picture. But let's don't lose sight now. We're still looking at the boy. The boy. Isaac. His heavenly visitors, they said unto him, Where's Sarah? Where's Sarah, your wife? He said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. Sarah heard it in the tent door. Was she kind of overhearing what she could hear? I don't know. Probably so. But all that's good, because you see, what she's going to do is something that the Lord is, in a sense, going to rebuke her for, but he's going to turn it into something good. That's my opinion. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. What does that mean? I think that physiologically, the processes that were involved in bearing children were just
Dead. As far as our bodies are concerned, I think, in my opinion, that is a very important point in really grasping what's going on here. We must see that as far as having children are concerned, Abraham is dead. Sarah is dead. And here God is making this tremendous promise to them to tell them how important this son is. You see, that takes some faith. Well, let's see what happens here. Verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed. You see, there's our word popped up again. Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being also old? I mean, Abraham is no child. You see, that's what she's saying. We're both old folks. The Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? See? The Lord knows what's going on. Look, she tries to finesse it. The Lord continues, Sarah did laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? And then verse 14. See, that is the Lord asking a question. Excuse me, I put the wrong inflection on that. I get you folks so confused. Let me read that again. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? So he's feeding her words right back. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now that sounds a little bit like convoluted sentences there, but what it is saying in effect is this. At a point in time, see, everything's on a precise schedule. We may not see that, but it is on God's precise schedule. What he's saying is, when I have appointed the time, I will return, and this is what he will do, I will make those dead bodies of yours alive. And next year at this time, you're going to have yourself a son, Abraham. Verse 15, then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not. That's a little troubling to me. But then that's very human too, isn't it? That is very human. See, you and I would never do that, would we? No. You see, that's how we kid ourselves. We do it really all the time. Really, honestly. But you see, all these weaknesses that we have, such as this one that we're seeing in Sarah, I say to you, and this is what I like to believe, and we're going to see it tonight, Lord willing. God is going to take these unlovely things that we find ourselves doing sometime, and he will turn them around and use them in a good way. I like to believe that, and I think we're going to see it. Well, Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. For she was afraid, and she said, nay. And he said, but nay, thou didst laugh. Well, then we go on over. We're going to pass by chapter 19 because they also pay a visit on the city slicker lot over there in Sodom. And, excuse me. And then we come to chapter 21. This is the birth of the boy. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. He made a promise. He's fulfilling his promise. And the Lord the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the time, a set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah had bare unto him, laughter, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. 100 years old. Can't you read that little notice in the paper? proud father, 100 years old, proud mother, 90, was she 90? 90-something years old. You've birthed a son. Well, what's the son's name? Laughter. What else would you name a son in your old age? Laughter. Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. There's our word again. So that all that hear will laugh with me. So Sarah is saying, God made me to laugh, and all that hear will laugh with me. So it's going to be contagious. This laughter is going to be contagious. Other people will join in the laughter about what? About the Son. Now hang in there. I know you know there's a point coming, and it's a feeble one, maybe, but it may be a very strong one. See, we're working on this word laughter. Well, let's see. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew, was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. That a celebration. The day that Isaac was weaned, big celebration. Father gives a big party. That's just beautiful, just lovely. Now, this was kind of troubling to me, and I could never really arrive at any conclusions about this laughter business until I happened to see in my Ryrie Bible. Now, I see Ryrie Bibles, and many people have them, and this is quite a scholar, this brother Ryrie. He has a Bible with his notes in it, much like Schofield, although I like Schofield, but Ryrie is a great scholar. Now, if you have a Ryrie Bible, you look in the notes and you will see over where Sarah laughs the first time, it is an unbelieving laugh. She really cannot bring herself to believe the promises of God. And she denies that she laughed. But she did. And Mr. Ryrie says it's an unbelieving laugh. Now, you see, there are different kinds of laughs. Oh, yeah. For example, is it the second psalm? God, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Isn't that the second psalm? He shall have them in derision. See, God is laughing, but it's not, let's join in together and all have a good laugh. Oh, no. Oh, no, no. You see, God is sitting in heaven, sees these little pipsqueaks down here, trying to amass themselves against the plan and program against God Himself and His anointed. And God is saying, laughing in derision. So that's one kind of laugh. Now, another kind of laugh is something I like to call the operatic laugh. Now, if you've ever seen on TV, or if you've ever been to an opera, or you even hear them on the radio, I grew up listening to the Metropolitan Opera on the radio, because our school was big on that kind of stuff. And our grade school. So we got started kind of early. And they'd explain what's going on, which I never did understand, but something I carried away about those operas that I thought was kind of cute. Those opera stars with these magnificent voices, men and women, regularly, with great regularity, they're laughing on the stage. Now, the funny thing is about this, they're dying, but they're laughing. I never could understand that. They're laughing, but they're dying. So that's what I call the operatic laugh. Now, you can't really put too much into that, you know. That's for stage effect. It's almost like he's trying to get your attention, and I'm giving this great big, with my big, beautiful voice, laughing that I am dying. Well, that's another kind of laugh. Now, the laugh of derision that God did, Sarah, this was the laugh of unbelief. And God, of course, spotted that right off. And though Sarah denied it, he said again, no, you did say it. And you did laugh. So we can't hide from the Lord. And something that seems to be that innocent, yet represented something that said, I don't believe. And you know something? The Lord wants us to believe Him. Well, now let's get on. Let's get on. This time, in chapter 21, if you get your Ryrie Bible now, there's just one little line, that's all he says. This is the laughter of joy. This is the laughter of joy. 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 Okay. All this laughter, all this joy about the birth of a boy. And if Isaac is a type of Christ, I then ask myself, does this have anything to do with the birth of Christ? Well, let's go over and see if we can find anything about joy or joyous, and let's turn to the first chapter of Matthew. Matthew. Now, this is as we discussed at the program, the Christmas program, this is the visit of the Magi. And they see the star, which, as you recall, I said, was the Shekinah glory to lead them to the house of the Lord Jesus, the newly born baby boy that had been prophesied and promised. This is Matthew chapter 2, actually, verse 9. When they, that is the wise men, heard the king, they departed and said, "Lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." So there you go. There's an instance in which joy is connected with the birth of the greater Isaac, the Lord Jesus. Now, there's another instance. So this is rejoicing, excuse me, with great joy. Now, there's another instance over in Luke. A couple of them, as a matter of fact. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. After the promise had been made, and it registers with Mary the importance of what the angel has promised, she then, and Mr. Schofield heads this the Magnificat. It is the famous, you know, praise of Mary upon hearing the news that she will bear the child. And Mary said, this is verse 46 of Luke chapter 1, and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." So there's a second instance of joy and rejoicing connected with the birth of the Lord Jesus. And now, over in chapter 2, verse 10, the angel speaking to the shepherds. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Remember, Sarah said, "I'll laugh, but also it will be contagious." So here, they're filled with joy, but that joy is going to spill over also to all people. Now, I say that the joy that I have, knowing that my sins are forgiven, and that I'm going to heaven, and that I belong to the Lord Jesus, fills me with joy on a daily basis. Oh, yeah, I moan and groan, and we all have our problems and don't feel good sometimes. But I have never lost my joy. It's always there. I'm happy one day and I'm miserable the next, but happiness is an accident. Joy is always there, spilling over in our hearts. It never varies. I think it can increase as we learn more about the person of the Lord through His Word and so on. But now, that joy should spill over into others also. See, that's what Sarah said was going to happen. That's what the angels say will happen. That's what I'm saying. I think the Lord's will for is for our lives. If we know the Lord, we manifest that joy. Now, let me try to sew this thing up about laughter a little bit. I think I said, and I'd like to repeat, I think the Lord can take sometimes things that are in our lives that are not necessarily lovely, as the Lord, as Sarah laughing about the promise of the Lord. And He can take that very thing and turn it to something that He could use. And laughter is one of them. Laughter. But you see, there was that the laughter that wasn't so nice. It was the unbelieving laughter. The second time, Sarah had a laughter of enjoyment. She believed, she accepted. The shepherds, Mary, they all burst forth with joy on learning of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I guess what I'm saying is that everything we have should go on the altar, because if it's been blessed of the Lord, it's going to be okay. You know, even our foibles, I'm not sure that's the right word. I guess it is. Yeah, the things that, you know, we're always stumbling and bumbling around, even those things that may seem to be negatives in our lives, if they're on the altar and we pray that the Lord purges in our lives, they can become nice, and used for Him. Well, let's go back now. He said, we're going back to Genesis 22. The boy, his birth, and now we're going to look at the blessing. And we'll consider verses 15 through, we're going on through 24. So the boy, now we have seen him promised, and we have seen him born, we've seen him named, and now we're going to see his blessing. We've spent a lot of time on chapter 21, that is the offering of Isaac. We spent a lot of time there, and we should. And we should spend some more time there, because we will never exhaust this beautiful passage. But because we have, because of time, we're not going to spend too much time. But it is very important that we see the progression of things in the life of Isaac. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Isaac. Now, immediately almost, it seems in reading it, God said, you know that boy I gave you that was miraculous? Yes, Lord, know that boy. You know that boy that came as a result of my resurrecting your dead body and Sarah's dead body? Yes, Lord, know that. Tell you what, I want you to take him up on the mountain that I'll tell you of and sacrifice him. Now, that would cause me some concern. Maybe you too. Abraham didn't even blink an eye. Everything put together, they go up on the mountain, and in a figure, beloved, Isaac died. Now, he did not, but in a figure, he died, and it's important to see that. He was given a substitute. As a matter of fact, there are two substitutes. There's the ram, which was caught in the thicket. That was Isaac's substitute, but only for the moment. And every animal that was ever sacrificed for the sins of Israel was only temporary and only looked forward to the one sacrifice that would be for all time and would end sacrifices forever. And that sacrifice is the one mentioned by Abraham when he said God will provide himself a lamb. That's the one that is yet to come. As Abraham said, it was yet to come, but would be the final sacrifice. Now, Isaac is dead, been sacrificed. Abraham comes down from the mountain. I believe I mentioned that. If I didn't, let me be sure to say it. Abraham tells the young men, we're going to go and worship, you stay here, and we'll come back. But if you read this, we won't take time to do it now, but if you read this, Isaac doesn't come back. As they're coming back, it's Abraham, but there is no Isaac. He's totally off the scene, you see? In a figure, he's dead. Well now, flowing out of that incident of the sacrifice of Isaac, which is a picture of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, flowing out of that is tremendous blessing, which we'll now take a look at. Verse 15, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, For because thou hast done this thing, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the sea shore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Blessing, I will bless. Multiplying, I will multiply. That sounds like compound interest, doesn't it? By multiplying, I will multiply. Or, I guess, in the language of arithmetic or mathematics, it would be like geometric progression. I mean, it just keeps growing and multiplying itself. That's the idea that I think has to be seen here in the blessing that God is promising as a result of the death of Isaac. You see, he did die. Yeah, in the figure, he did die. Now, flowing out of that is the blessing. What is the blessing? There are three important things we see here regarding that blessing. Seed, stars, sand. Seed, stars, and sand. Now, we first meet that word seed back in Genesis. Right after the fall. And that would be